you've marked that. Let's turn to number 331. 331. Love divine, all love excelling, joy of hell to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure abounded love.
Say the least. Young people, as we sing these songs together, we think about the youth activity. And yesterday we had a big board meeting out of camp, and every session is filling up and filling up and filling up. And so we're looking forward to having over 900 or 1,000 children there to be at camp this year, Sarge Lake Christian Camp. So be sure to get your application in as you go along the way here. And you can do it today by way of the internet system, and any way in the world that you can do it, please do. And the songs that we sing out there are songs we commonly get to sing here with our adults here in the worship service at this point in time, and I'm glad to do that with y'all. The ideals of these songs are songs that we can sing in regard to leading the way of the Lord in our daily walk of life, and how that the idea of the worship that we do is done because that is a part of our hearts and our lives. And as a result of that, we find ourselves worshiping the Lord through this particular house in which we live, this particular dwelling in which we are, and it's the sanctuary. Oh Lord, prepare me to be the sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. So many of our religious friends talk about a sanctuary only in regard to the physical building itself in which they gather. And the idea of the sanctuary in God's word is the individual heart of a person's life and the individual practice of that inner man to be the sanctuary of the Lord, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Good to be with y'all today in this way. Let me turn all my sound programs on here now for everybody for benefit. There we go. The Church of our Lord, is there a way in which it's to operate? We're not talking about just a sign that says Church of Christ. For in the pages of the Bible, the church is referred to in many different terms in reference to the church, the body of Christ, the kingdom of God's dear Son, and all those verses that deal with the idea of the bride of Christ. We're talking about things that are righteous and good in relation to the Lord of heaven in His church. We help one another. I make mistakes in life. You make mistakes in life. We all do. We make plans, and sometimes we change those plans immediately. Don't realize that they've been changed. And we make a mistake along the way. We ask for forgiveness about it. And we go along our way, but it'd be better tomorrow than we were yesterday and today. Let's find ourselves in people looking at the church of our Lord in this thing called the house of God. The Apostle Paul addressed Timothy in 1 Timothy 3 and at verse 15 and said, I want to come to you. I long to meet with you and be with you. But if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. What was Paul wishing to do? Come to him and meet with him and be with him personally, hug him individually and love him and everything and encourage him to keep on in the faith of the Lord, but he might be delayed in his travels. As a result of that, in this letter, by inspiration, he says, if I tarry long, if I tarry an extended time from my plans, I'd like to be there on Thursday or Friday, but I may be next week on Tuesday or Wednesday being there. Well, that's the idea. He says, if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself. Ought to behave. There's a way to behave ourselves in the family, and there's a way not to behave ourselves in a family. There used to be a peach tree in the backyard that had certain little limbs on it missing. Those little limbs missing were dried limbs. They were effective on the backs of legs and backs of, And it was getting a person's attention to listen closer and do what you ought to do. There was some discipline to it that reminds us of the right things. Today it's gone to a time when it's a timeout situation to be done. And sometimes that's good and sometimes that's along the way. But I remember very well those particular lessons that came from the peach tree that never did bring peaches on those limbs because those limbs were off of the tree. Think about how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God. In the house of God. God's house has always been talked about in such a wonderful way. When we noted this morning in our class the closing verse of Psalm 23, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The house of God has been there mentioned as an eternal place, an eternal reward. But in this particular passage, it's dealing with, verse Timothy 3 and 15, is dealing with the house of God that is in existence here and now. Right here upon this earth, ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. It is the pillar and ground of the truth. It's the church. It's the ecclesia. It's the called out people of God. And the called out people of God can maintain that relationship with the Lord by continuing to be called out people. That's not a part of the worldly ways in life. That's not a part of the sinful ways of life. That's not a part of the vulgar ways of life. When we find ourselves more often than about watching a movie to take place on a television set or some place that we've gone to, that the report was that it was a good movie. Along the way, though, we find out when we go in and watch that movie that there are words that are misused there, words that are just vulgar, words that are profane that are used there. What can we do? Close our ears, maybe arise and make an early exit out of that. Remind ourselves for sure, this is not the way for individuals to talk. This is not the individuals in life that are on the screen, their images that are there. These are actors of the ways that be done. I remember very well some of the stories in regard to some of the people who were enacting in days gone by, went out to Hollywood and became actors in this way. Actors and actresses, as they were called in that day and time, how they would come back home and meet with people along the way. One of those people that was not into acting and other things was Zig Ziglar. He came from Yazoo City, Mississippi. And as a result of Zig's work and everything there, he desired to be a salesman, and he was quite a good salesman. He was a good salesman of some special kinds of pots and pans and things like that. He was gifted at doing it and gifted at helping people to say yes to his orders, and he was just a tremendous guy. But he was invited to come back to Yazoo City and to speak at one of the high school reunion time, one of the graduation events to take place there too. But all of the wonderful days of those years gone by, people came back for that, and they were, since he was so popular and everything, they came back by the droves there. They filled up an auditorium there that was a big, it was in the Big Eight Conference, so you know how big the school was at that day and time. And so it was a big auditorium there. And he arrived early on and everything, and decided to drop by the restroom, wash his hands and so forth as he was there. And so he was in the inner sanctum of that particular mess restroom. They had it, and it was a big thing. First section of that thing was filled with mirrors and wash basins, and you could wash your hands, and towels were there to dry hands and fix your hair up and everything like that. And then later on, there was other things that were in there. And he hadn't gone in that part yet at all. When this young lady walks in, he knew her very well. She was a part of his class. And she said, "Well, Zig, hello. Good to see you again, of all things. How many years has it been? I guess it's been since graduation. We haven't seen one another and everything. Good to see you and everything." And so then she said, "Are you a little bit nervous about being back here and speaking at your home school and all the reunion time? Are you a little bit nervous?" And he said, "Well, no." He said, "You know, I've spoken before kings and queens in the countries of the world." He said, "I have spoken before many, many people in Hollywood and in New York City." He said, "I'm just really not, I'm not nervous." She said, "Well, why would you be standing in the ladies' bathroom then?" In his excitement about the event, he saw bathroom, but he didn't see any particular gender for it. We can make mistakes as we go through life in days and times. There's a way that we ought to behave, and there's a way that we do behave that we think's right. But it's not. And then we find ourselves in life going out in that way of life and maintaining that that's the right way to do, right thing to do. We're fooling ourselves. Paul says that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. Some people think that they're in the house of God, the church of the living God, that their membership is there, it's involved with it. If it's not the membership in God's Word that we say that they were, then we're standing in the wrong place. We're standing in the wrong teaching. We are believing the wrong practices. I've asked a number of people that find themselves at one time in fellowship with us. They were part of the work of the Lord and the deeds of the Lord, and they decided to be part of denominationalism. They went to a certain denomination they liked and enjoyed the really entertainment codes that were being done and the various speaking that was being done. And there are a lot of preachers that can preach to the high heights of heaven, and you find yourself interested in them at all. Then I asked of them, I said, "Well, would you ask your preacher friend there? I know he's a good preacher. At the same time, ask him where he gets the verse that tells him to teach you for salvation, the sinner's prayer." Some have actually done that. They've been met with words of criticism in some instances, You went to the Church of Christ before you came here, didn't you? But did the Church of Christ teach that? Does the Bible teach us all the plan of salvation? When Jesus said in John 8, "You must believe that I am He, or you will die in your sins." And He said in Luke chapter 13 at verse 3, "I tell you, nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Then in the 10th chapter of Matthew, "If you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father who's in heaven." Sounds like I need to confess Him. And our Lord Jesus, before He left this earth and went back to heaven, He came to His disciples and He's talked to them and taught them vividly about His Lordship and His ways. And in Mark 16, 15 and 16, He said, "Now you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We all learned in our third grade classes the difference in a coordinating conjunction and other kinds. Coordinating conjunction joins things of equal rank or equal importance. And the word "and" is a coordinating conjunction. When He said there in Mark 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," was He telling the plan of salvation? And is it right for people today to say, "Pray this prayer with me"? Is it right in a baptismal pool to ask those candidates that walk into that baptismal pool, "If you died right now before you're baptized, would you be saved?" And their reply is yes, based upon the teaching that they received. The prayer has been said. They told that they were saved. They believe that they were saved. "Because you have been saved, I now baptize you into the relationship with this church." On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, how was it to behave in the house of God, the church of the living God? "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and as many afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." That involves you and me. "The many afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And then in verse 47, "And the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved." How do we behave in the house of God? In a way that we're told that we're saved, or the way that the Word of God tells us that people of the New Testament were saved? Is there a doubt that the 3,000 that obeyed the gospel on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 were saved from their sins and given the gift of the Holy Spirit and added by the Lord unto His church about 3,000 souls? Is there any doubt that that is the right way to teach and practice? You know, when we find ourselves involved with the entertainment systems of our time for worship, when we find ourselves involved in a very orderly kind of a practice of preaching and teaching, and there are many who can practice that art very vividly and believe that whatever He says to me about a sinner's prayer and praying this prayer is the right thing to do, without ever opening the Bible, without ever seeing that there's not a single verse that deals with the words of a sinner's prayer. The house of God.
is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. If the truth is not searched out by you and me, if it's not believed by you and me and practiced by you and me, are we acting as we should? I know that there'll be a lot of people who hear this particular message by way of the internet system. And I want you to know of our great love for people, our great love for working with people, our love to teach people, and our love for this question to ask to people, do you find this in your Bible? Is it good enough to say, I just don't read the Bible that much, it's just a matter of interpretation by this one and that one and the other one? Or can we understand the words that are said there and the expectation that God has given there? In the third chapter of the book of Ephesians, he talks about how the wonderful blessings of God can come and the wisdom of God can come in our lives. And he talks about how that in this body of Christ, the church of our Lord, we can pray unto the Lord and ask of him things in life, and that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, through the power that is in us. God has invested a power within us that when we hear truth and we tell truth and we practice truth and we pray to him about things that we would like to have done, that we believe that he hears us and that he does hear us and wants us to practice that way of life as we lead others through the power that's in us to glorify him throughout all ages, world without end. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, and to glorify in the church throughout all ages, world without end. It's in this house of God we're to glorify the Lord as we live from day to day. Now let me ask of you in this regard. If we find ourselves in the house of God, let's say if we find ourselves in any household, and we find ourselves doing and teaching those kind of things that are not of that household, they're not appreciated by that household, not the teaching of that household, not the practice of that household, what will mom and dad, older brothers and sisters do in that household? They will say, wait a minute. We didn't teach that. We didn't do that. We didn't practice that. That's not our ideals. Please do not misrepresent us in this household. Keep the name of this household being good. How many of us had moms and dads that told us to remember when you go out at night, remember the house, remember whom you represent. Remember what's going on at this house. Remember who we are. Remember whom you represent. Probably each one of us. But to know that that means something is special to us, that we want to be people of God and people who honor the right ways of the Lord. That's a summation of some of our studies during the course of this month, to be people who honor the church of our Lord, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And when we ask the words that deal with the truth, we should see those words that are proper and right to be done. Let me close this lesson today with the words of our Lord Jesus, and as he spoke in regard to this matter. In John chapter 11, Jesus meets up with Mary and Martha and meets up with the death of Lazarus there. And Jesus says, whosoever would believe in me would never die. Listen what he says there. How Jesus spake of death, but he thought that he was spoken of things of rest in sleep. Jesus said unto them, Lazarus is dead. Then they went on and they talked to them, and Mary and Martha came out and about, and they both had same kind of question marks about what was going on. When Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Verse 24. Jesus replied, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, although he were dead, yet shall he live. Did Jesus mean to leave the impression, he that believeth only in me? When on the day of Pentecost, they believed in the Lord, and Peter said to them, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Did Jesus mean for them to understand, I'm the resurrection life, he that believeth in me only shall never die? Or was he saying, believe in me and practice the things that I taught you, believe the things I taught you to do? And when Jesus said, you go into all the world in Mark 16 and 15 and 16. You go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Did he mean for them to go and teach, believe, and be baptized? Or could they just simply refer back to what he said here at Bethany and say, you told me, if I believe, I'll never die. Our Lord Jesus was not conflicting himself in his ways. He was not telling them about a prayer to pray that couldn't be found. He was telling them to believe enough that they would practice that way of life that he told them. And in his telling them to repent and to confess and to be baptized, he was telling them the full measure of what they do understand. When Paul was writing to Timothy and telling him that we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God, appointing of elders was to behave themselves. Deacons was to behave themselves in the house of God. Doing the work of the Lord in worship of the Lord in spirit and in truth was to be done. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, they were not to misuse the Lord's Supper. Eating and drinking condemnation to their souls if they did. Does that sound like that they're still saved from sin and that they're always saved and no matter how they eat the bread and drink the fruit of the vine, that they're still saved? Eating and drinking condemnation to their soul. Read it for yourself there in 1 Corinthians 11. And they were not doing right in their preaching and their singing and their praying. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. They were to pray and sing with the spirit and the understanding also. They were to be people who taught the word of God in words that could be easily understood by everybody in that service. That's the way to behave yourself in the house of God. But you know what? Churches far and wide will get it right when they get to the contribution. It'll always be the plate will always be passed. How many times did Paul say to the brethren at Corinth they should pass the plate? 1 Corinthians 16, as I gave order to the churches of Galatia, so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him in stores. God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Oh, there would be gatherings, all right. He'd go among them and get contributions that they would give if they didn't have it together. But they had it together in such abundance that in 2 Corinthians 9 it tells a great reward for them and praises them for their contribution that they gave and wonderful help that was done in the time of a great famine. The church was able to help because he'd done the right thing in the right way. As we sing this song of encouragement today, do you find yourself responsible to the Lord's invitation to come to him and obey him? Would you come as we stand and as we sing together?
Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday your record will be. Someday you'll answer the question of life. What will your answer be? What will it be?
Encourage these young people that will be coming down from Goodman Oaks Church this afternoon. Their families will be with them. There will be a crowd of people that will come and be with them and enjoy the singing and the reading of Scripture that they'll be doing tonight, the boys as well as the young ladies for our lady of the congregation. It'll be a good help for them in every way, and they like to do that with us here at Crockett. We're glad that they do like to do that with us here at Crockett. God bless you all.
Bring forth the royal diadem and crown.